Arriving here and this service, I have lost my purple binder that had my sermon notes. So yes, yes, applause, applause. So I guess this will be brief. Or not, right, exactly. Well, famous story, isn't it? A famous story, Nicodemus. John 3:16 might be, in our part of the world, the most famous verse. And I translated it a little differently, don't tell the Archbishop, as I was reading it today, because I want to get to what I think it means in a moment. But we are meditating as we walk through Lent. We're meditating what it's like to be in the desert. We are a desert people. We've been cast out or led out into this desert by God. And it is possible, we believe, to find life even in a desert. Last week, I liked to imagine what a desert looks like after the rain has fallen. And it is quite beautiful. Even this week, I Googled it again because the colors are amazing. This week, as we wonder about gardening in the context of night, because that's when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, isn't it? He comes to Jesus at night. That's not just a neat addition by the author of the story. That's an intentional addition. Nicodemus comes at night. We wonder if anything can grow at night. There's a BBC thing on Netflix right now, of The Earth at Night or something like that. Have you seen it? It's a great show. Nathan loves it. Right now he's actually watching how they made The Earth at Night, and great. Anyway, I'm just so proud. When they went to the desert at night, they discovered something amazing, because it's at night that you see a lot of the cacti bloom. It's at night when the cacti flowers open up and they spread their scent around so that bats and other flying creatures might come and be able to pollinate. But I thought it was interesting that it bloomed at night. The night, though it's being used in this story here as a way of describing a lack of belief, a lack of understanding, we cannot read into this text a sense of hopelessness and a sense of no life. Because God can even grow things at night, at our spiritual night, at our emotional night, at our intellectual night, all these times when we're feeling like we don't understand or we're confused or tossed backward and forward due to the anxieties of this world, like the one we just named at the beginning of the service with pandemics. Even at the night of our hearts, God is still working God's magic. God, the gardener, Jesus, the gardener who we meet at Easter, is still working hard. And it is a hopeful message. It is a hopeful message that we read about this morning in Nicodemus. So I want to talk briefly about what night is. I want to wonder briefly what night is for you and what Jesus does for those of us who are walking in night or coming to Jesus in night. And then I want to wonder what it is we might be able to do for ourselves who are experiencing night, but maybe also our neighbors who are experiencing night. What are some things we can imitate Jesus in doing? So what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and questions Jesus. Asks Jesus questions, lays out his misunderstanding, affirms or confirms his lack of trust, his confusion, and Jesus listens. Jesus lets Nicodemus question him. What a gift. What a gift Jesus is. Jesus is not one of those street corner missionaries or evangelists who only speak out truth but don't listen to the people's questions. Jesus invites questioning. How many of us have grown up in a tradition where asking questions about God or the church is kind of frowned upon, and you feel that thumb? Don't ask those questions. Just believe. How dare you wonder if the Bible is historical or not? How dare you wonder if the world was created in 7 days or not? How dare you wonder if Jesus can still work miracles today? We are invited to question. And I think that's a huge gift for us who walk in a life at night. Because that's what night is a night is not necessarily a deliberate, I don't want to participate in what's going on. Night is a deep sadness and confusion, trying to understand things. Let's give some context to why Nicodemus might be coming to Jesus and questioning him. Nicodemus was a religious leader of his day. And for religious leaders of his day, he was very aware of charlatans who came generation after generation promising life, promising liberation, promising healing, promising that they would defeat the Romans finally, promising hope, and they were liars. They took people's money, they took people's hopes, and they dashed them on the ground. It was Jesus, maybe just one of them. Jesus says, come and ask me your questions. Come wonder. Come bring your wounds to me. I'm not afraid of them. Another thing that Jesus does, which I think is beautiful, and he does it in such a sneaky way, which I think is why it's so beautiful. And I think it's important to do what Jesus does in a sneaky way. Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night with all his doubts and his confusion. Jesus starts using language of birth and life throughout his conversation. And it's sneaky. 9 times Jesus talks about being born, birth, new life. 9 times in that little paragraph, Jesus says, be born, be renewed, find life. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes when I'm ill or down in the dumps or going through some tragedy or whatever, the last thing I want is someone to come and tell me everything's going to be okay. The last thing I need is someone to show me the silver lining to the cloud. That's why Jesus is so good at this. He's so sneaky. He starts talking about words of life not to impose his anxiety onto Nicodemus, but to let Nicodemus know that he is not alone, that there is still life around him. And the great gift that Nicodemus will eventually realize is that Jesus himself is that life. Jesus invites questions and ever so gently plants seeds of hope into the heart of Nicodemus. Birth, new life. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I wonder what your night is. Excuse me. I wonder what your neighbor's night is. And there are lots of nights, aren't there? Maybe you're experiencing more than one. There's the great night of spiritual uncertainty or confusion. Is this God thing real? Is this coming and gathering here worth it? Does this matter? Maybe there is the night that you're facing as you watch the news like I do. Viruses going around the world. War. Maybe your night is closer to home. Maybe it is a phone call you're dreading from a doctor. Maybe your night is a relationship with a child, a grandchild, a spouse that's fractured. There are plenty of nights. And if we are a people of the desert, we are also a people of the night. in those nights, God wants us to complain. God wants us to ask questions and wonder. God does not want us to keep those things inside of us, but to come to Jesus and get them out. What is that phrase, better out than in? I use that when Nathan has the flu. But maybe it's a spiritual message also for us when it comes to our anxieties and our fears and our nights. Confess them. Name them. Complain about them. Lift your fists. Debate. Argue. Because in doing so, we are letting go a burden that we as humans aren't able to bear, and giving it to God so that we are once again able to lift up our heads, lift up our eyes to the hills, and know that God's help is there. But maybe a gift that you can offer a neighbor. And I know this is frustrating. I know it's exhausting. So do it right early in the morning when you have the energy. Let your neighbor tell you their problems. Let your neighbor find an outlet. Let your neighbor come to you at their night and talk about their concerns. And what you can do is start planting sneakily little seeds of hope in their lives. And as your neighbor sings that country song of theirs, you can add a little bit of gospel. Does anything grow at night? Well, John doesn't often give us any glimpses into the future when we ask him these questions, but it just so happens that Nicodemus makes his appearance again in the Gospel of John right at the very end. This Nicodemus who lived at night, who came to Jesus once at night and was confused and asked questions, who received the gifts that Jesus planted in his heart, this good news of new birth. He again appeared at the end of Jesus' life. After Jesus has died, he takes Jesus with his friend Joseph of Arimathea, and they place Jesus, they plant Jesus, we read in John chapter 19, in a garden, in a new tomb. And we know the end of the story, that tomb, that seed that was planted in that garden so long ago, burst through again and brought new life. And that seed of Christ will burst through again and again and again, whether it's night or day. This is our hope. This is our joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. As you're able, would you please stand? Around the world, God's family, God's children of the night, say this amazing poem. It's a seed that might grow in your garden, of your heart's garden, so that you can have joy and life and peace. Let us confess our faith as we say, we